Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Mark. Mark Malusa's Andrew Bogus with you. Thank you, buddy, for a couple minutes. We appreciate it, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
How's the summer going, all right?
Summer's going all right. We're getting ready for some football season. It was nice to spend last night watching some games and, gosh, man, gearing up for college as well.
Now, Mark, style-wise, are you still sporting the mohawk or no?
Yes. My mohawk did not retire with my NFL career.
Oh, so you still walk around with the mohawk. I thought the mohawk would be gone. It's still there.
Oh, how about that? It is surviving.
I'm glad to hear it. Let's talk about your former team a little bit here, Mark, first. The Giants, last night certainly Andrew and I, we've talked a lot about all the preseason games across the country. What's important, for the guy and gal that didn't play in the National Football League? You're watching now, watching these games. What are we supposed to take away from preseason action?
I think the biggest thing in week one is usually how do the backups perform, not only the ones who are starting the game because of people who are not playing, the seasoned veteran that's not going to be on the field, or the superstar like Saquon Barkley not going to be on the field. How do not only their backups play, but really it's for the guys who might be third, fourth string, how do they perform when they're on the field in their defensive or offensive position, but also on special teams? One of the things that I try to tell every young player that comes into the league is that it doesn't matter how good you are at your position. If you cannot play special teams, you cannot provide value for your team early on in your career. And so they will break down the special teams kickoffs and punts and punt returns and kickoff returns just as much as they will any offensive or defensive play, and probably weigh decisions on who will make the last 10 spots of the roster based on special teams more so than anything else.
Mark, specific to the Giants, it jumped out to Mark and I. Obviously, the raw numbers for Daniel Jones are good, impressive, great, however you want to describe them. But when he threw his touchdown pass, the offensive line celebrated in a pretty big way right around him. It just seems like he's already earned a lot of respect from the guys around him on that roster.
Yeah, I think he has. I think he has earned that respect. I think that another thing that you'll see in preseason, you'll see the veteran players on the sidelines smiling much more than you will in regular season play. And a lot of times it's after a young player makes a big play, right? A touchdown. You see them laughing and high-fiving. It's cool because you get to see someone who you've kind of watched grown up over the past few months, and now they're able to succeed at this next level. I think some of the time they're laughing too because they're like, man, this dude wasn't catching anything in practice, and now he's catching everything in the game. So there's that side of it too, but I think with Daniel Jones specifically, I think that everybody on that team and I think in New York was just so happy to see him succeed early because there has been so much scrutiny over that draft pick, really unfairly to Daniel Jones himself, because all he's doing is just going out and playing football he's always played. But I do think it was nice for fans and especially for his teammates to see him do well early. And he did. He played really well. And it was funny because you saw a different ball being thrown, right? It wasn't what New York fans are used to seeing, that zip on the pass. It was more like a touch placement pass, but it went to the right spot every single throw he made.
Yeah, no question about it. And, you know, I don't know how good the Giants are going to be this year. You know, defense have got some holes, and certainly, you know, Eli at the back end, maybe his final year in a Giant uniform with Jones pushing him here, Mark. But they've got a ridiculous player in running back, Saquon Barkley. I mean, he is as big of a difference maker what he can be offensively at the running back position as we've seen in quite some time.
Yeah, he is ridiculous. It's interesting because I almost feel like the word ridiculous isn't a good enough word to describe him, but they almost don't make good enough words to describe
him. Right, we
got to
invent
play.
One. That's what we got to do. We got to add a word to the dictionary.
Because when you watch him play, you're almost like, man, I've never seen this before. And you try to put bits and pieces of different Hall of Fame running backs together to say this is what Saquon is, but you know, I think he really brings this new aspect of running back to the game, and he's able to do everything. And I think it's exciting. It's exciting to watch, and he's going to be a fantastic player.
Mark, did you get a chance to see any of the Dolphins game last night? Because obviously, you know, Fitzpatrick and Rosen is one of the only handful of QB bounds we actually have. But after last night, I don't know that it matters who's back there, because that offensive line has just been terrible so far for them.
Well, and that has been a big problem for, you look around the league for any team, but for the Miami Dolphins in particular, is protecting the quarterback, and it does not matter how good a quarterback is or what the quarterback does or who he is if he can't have any time to throw it. And you saw last night, and it's a shame it happened so early, right? I always say that offensive line is one of the last positions to kind of come together. And a lot of times you'll see early on in preseason them struggle and kind of figure things out later, because all five of those guys have to be on the same page on every single play. But it more so looked like last night that guys were just getting beat man to man.
Yeah.
And that can't happen. And I don't know how that gets fixed throughout the preseason.
Mark, the Kingsbury out in Arizona, do you think what he is going to try and do with his new quarterback in Kyler Murray, the Heisman Trophy winner out of Oklahoma, in today's day and age, and being such a passing league offensively for the most part, do you think that kind of offense, that air raid style of offense for the most part, do you think it could work in the NFL?
I think it can if you have the right guy at quarterback, and I think he has the right guy at quarterback right now. You know, watching last night and watching, when Kyler Murray throws the ball, it's weird. It looks like the ball weighs less than when any other person throws the ball, because it just like comes out of his hand so fast. And it's a lot of times those throws are compared to like dart throws, but it literally looked like he was throwing darts last night. And I think his ability to get the ball down the field, but also get outside the pocket and make plays with his feet on the ground, that's what makes the air raid offense practical in the NFL. Because if you're adding the element of, hey, if everything's covered up downfield, I can at least get 4 yards and then get out of bounds, or 4 yards and slide. Like, that's a win play on offense. So, I think there's room for that in the NFL. Obviously, you have to be able to run the ball, because that's just, you know, it is what it is. But I think Bill Belichick and the Patriots have proved it time and again, is that when they cannot run the ball, they'll throw the ball 55 times a game, and they can still win. So with a mobile quarterback, it could be even more effective.
I guess on somewhat similar lines, Mark, Lamar Jackson in Baltimore, three drives last night, two scoring drives out of those three, threw for a score, ran a couple of times. His head coach talked recently about how many times he's going to actually run the football, Lamar Jackson. Did that number, that prediction, did that scare you? Do you think they're putting him, or at least they're planning to put him, in too much danger this year in Baltimore?
I never want my quarterbacks to get hit, especially in the open field, because all the protection that a quarterback has provided is, you know, gets thrown out the window. But there's a way a quarterback can run, and you know, they can slide, they can get out of bounds, they can do different things to protect themselves on the back end of the play that really don't and shouldn't cost yardage. So I think it's going to be up to coaching Lamar Jackson on how to finish the play correctly and have that awareness mid-play on, hey, this is the yard I need to gain, or this is a situation where, you know, I need to put my head down, I need to juke, I need to get an extra couple yards because of the game situation. So, you know, that comes with coaching and experience, and that those are things that they coach running backs on all the time. What is the situation in the game, and how do I need to finish this play? Well, there needs to be some coaching for the quarterback position there as well.
You know, Mark, if I'm looking at teams across it, you know, not just reacting to what we saw last night or what we're going to see this weekend, but, you know, if they break camp healthy and health was an issue a year ago, that I think maybe can, you know, take a giant step forward off what was a down year a year ago. I look at the Atlanta Falcons. I mean, defensively, they've got a lot of talent. We know how good Matt Ryan can be. I mean, he can certainly run it. They've addressed the offensive line, did in the draft. You know, I think the Falcons are a team that kind of people have forgotten about a little bit here, you know, in the NFC, you know, after blowing that 28-3 lead in the Super Bowl. I think they can go out and make it be a playoff team this year. What's your thoughts on the Falcons?
No, I agree with you. And it's interesting, you know, you say Falcons might be a team that people have forgotten about. I feel like they're always, had a good season, they're always the team that's like, oh, yeah, the Falcons are probably pretty good. And I don't know why that is, because they have – you know, all-star receivers, all-star quarterback. I mean, they put together their team very well, and I think that you know, they didn't struggle last year really because that, you know, they weren't potent or didn't have firepower. They struggled because the games just didn't, a lot of times didn't go their way, or there were turnovers, or, you know, they were better last year than their record showed, and I think they're going to be even better this year than they were last year. So, you know, I totally agree with you. When you have a quarterback like Matt Ryan and receivers that can not only catch the ball but be huge playmakers on the outside, you have a chance to do a lot. And if you combine that with a revamped offensive line and a solid defense, I mean, that's what you want as a coach going into a season. Now, can they stay healthy? We'll see. But that's the assumption that we're making, and I do believe that they can be a real threat in the NFC.
Yeah, and I think, Mark, going a step farther, the NFC South with them, and I think the Panthers will be better, and then there are the Saints. I think that's got a chance to be the toughest division in football this year.
Yeah, and there's no reason why it shouldn't be most years, too. I mean,
yeah.
It's very rare that you can have that many elite quarterbacks in one division, but you see it there, and you know, you don't get much better than, you know, Cam, Matt, and Drew. So I mean, those guys are powerful, and if, when you go against them, you got to be scared every single time.
Mark, how nervous would you be if you were a Cowboy fan, seeing how Ezekiel Elliott's holding out, threatening to sit out the entire year, the importance to the team? I mean, if there's one guy that's an entire team besides a quarterback that the team is built around, you know, it's Elliott down there in Dallas. He changes the way Prescott plays, makes it easier for him, helps out the defense as well. How concerned would you be if you're a Cowboy fan right now?
Yeah, I mean, he is, as you said, he's incredibly important to that team, to the offense, to the city of Dallas in general. It's funny, we just talked about the NFC South, and we talked about, you know, all the unbelievable quarterbacks in that division, and how, you know, you have to be on point every single week. You know, the NFC East over the past however many years, it's kind of like, you know, just be the last man standing, you know. So while I do think Ezekiel Elliott absence will affect their offense, yes, but I see it being not as big a deal for the Dallas Cowboys, just because at the end of the season, you know, if you win 10 games, you'll probably be either at the top or close to the top of that division. So it's not, to me, this is kind of like a forked tongue type of thing. Yes, it's important. However, I think due to their schedule and due to the NFC East not having those guys like a Drew Brees, Matt Ryan in there that can win 14 games, I think that they are a little bit better off than if they were somewhere else.
Mark, how does this end in Washington with Trent Williams? Do you think they have to trade him at some point here soon?
Yeah, I think they're going to have to because, you know, I've gotten to know Trent a little bit, and he doesn't seem to me to be a guy that is going to say one thing and do another thing. You know, I believe his word when he says, hey, I'm not going back there unless you – you know, I think his gripe is with the training staff and with the way they handled his medical situation. And at this point, the dude has more money than he knows what to do with. It's not about that.
No.
I mean, if he wants to play football again, which is a different question, but assuming he does actually want to play football again, and he said, look, it's not worth it for me to play there again because I don't trust the people handling my health care. I can't see a reason why he would come back with that same system in place.
Yeah, I agreed. Totally agree. Mark, let's transition over to college a little bit because we talked about the other day, Dabo Swinney. You know, and you know the college game very, very well. It's difficult to do what – and Clemson was always a really good football program, right? But, you know, they are now the cream of the crop. I mean, what he was able to do in that championship game and what they've accomplished here with different personnel, different quarterbacks, it's absolutely remarkable what Sweeney's developed here down in Clemson, where they have made themselves basically the quintessential college football program in America.
They have. And Clemson has been a good program, but they were never a powerhouse. And I remember when I played at Boston College, and we played them all the time, and every single year, it was we either won or it was a close game, but we were two good solid teams in the ACC. But I don't think either of us were thinking that we were national championship contenders. However, like you said, now Dabo Swinney and the Clemson program has become the elite program in the country, not only not only just in the ACC and in the country, but really, I think what they've done is they have been the alternate to a Nick Saban Alabama that seems like a fun place to play.
You know, it does.
You look at the guys who go to Alabama, and you're like, gosh, man, they must have a tough time there because there's, you know, it's so strict, and you have so many rules. But then they're like, oh, wait, I could go to Clemson and have just as good football, and my coach is laughing and giving me high fives, and, like, I'm having fun. So it becomes like an alternate to that.
Good
where,
point.
You know, it's similar sense of, you know, the New England Patriots in professional football. Is, you know, there's always kind of a sense of like, all right, I'm going to go to Bill Belichick and I'm going to, you know, win Super Bowls, but, you know, I might have to deal with a lot while I'm there because it's not going to be as fun as I would like football to be. Well, if there was an alternate situation where there's a coach who liked to have fun and dance in the locker room, hey, that might be a good place to go too. So it's definitely been good for recruiting Clemson. They have the right guys. But I think when you see your head coach having so much fun with your team and with the sport of football, it really inspires everybody on that football team and really in all of South Carolina.
Yeah, and it's almost, at least for me, it seems a little odd to like be criticizing almost Nick Saban and Bill Belichick and other guys how they run things, but I'm with you in that, like, or at least, you know, if I was good enough to be recruited, like, I would like the guy that's having fun as opposed to the guy that's all business. But Saban and Belichick have been so good, it just seems wrong to think that they're not doing it right or something like that.
Oh, well, they are, you know, they're doing it right, and they're doing it their way. And it's not saying that they're not doing it right because they're winning. But as a player, you balance the – hey, how much do I want to win versus how much do I want to love what I'm doing, right? And those can go hand in hand, but sometimes, and this might be more so at the professional level too, but you know, when you go to your job, any job, doesn't matter what you do, and you know, you're making a lot of money or you're getting a lot of promotions and you're successful, but you're not enjoying what you're doing day to day,
yeah,
you really think about, okay, is this right for me? Now, you can, if you have, can go to a place where you're making a ton of money and you're loving what you're doing and you're loving the people around you and everybody's, you know, nice and happy, then you're not, there's no question of, okay, this is where I want to be for the rest of my life type of thing.
And you're not wrong. I mean, you're not wrong. Where you look at it where, you know, Alabama can be a grind. I mean, I think that's, you know, where, you know, the way that they, and that's fine. And if you're looking to be a, you know, play NFL professionally and you're that kind of a caliber recruit, you know, there's, you look at the history of Alabama players, they all get recruited, especially defensively. And the same thing's going for Clemson right now. I'll tell you, if three programs, you know, Clemson, Alabama, and I'll tell you, Mark, that locker room in LSU, and I never played college football, but I mean, that is, I thought Oregon was nice. I mean, that locker room down at LSU for LSU football, that is utterly ridiculous what they built down there.
Well, these facilities are so over the top, and it's so fun to see the development. And you're like, oh, I thought Oregon was great. And when you think about it, Oregon's facilities were built like 10 plus years ago, right?
Yeah.
You know, they've been updated.
It's time for
an
upgrade.
In 10 years, people can get really creative.
That's true. You're right about that.
And it's, my favorite part is when, you know, you're in an NFL locker room and a guy from Oregon or a guy from, you know, a Clemson or an LSU, they come into the NFL locker rooms and facilities and they're like, whoa, like this is nothing to what I had at college. You're like, where's my flat screen TV in my locker? Where, you know, where's the, triple jets in the hot tub? And you don't realize that, okay, everything that is paid for at the professional place is coming from the owners and the paychecks. So, you know, there's no donors when it comes to professional football.
No, it's crazy. It really is. So good luck if you're an LSU player. Enjoy it. That is some hell of a locker room. Hey, Mark, we appreciate the time this morning. We really do. Talk a little NFL, a little college with you, and hopefully we can get you on again real soon. Have a great weekend, all right?
Yeah, appreciate it, guys. Thanks a lot.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.